Senate Health and Human Services Committee to order. Senator Hand had a bill up in another committee, so we are, so you get me. I think that given that Senator Hand is in another committee, we're going to flip this, the agenda today, and we're going to start with Senate File 348, Senator Berglund. I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
I just said I think Senator Laurie is joining me on the table.
Oh.
He's one of the co-authors on the bill. And
well, thank you, both
so
of you,
we'll
whenever you're ready.
Him giving people a little bit of background.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. We have a long agenda. I'll be brief. Any of you who are here probably remember the OLA report on PCA services and the need to give a lot of attention to this area of our budget. And so in 2009 and 2010, we made changes to the PCA program to improve consumer protection and assure consumer health and safety, to increase accountability in the services that were offered, to simplify and clarify requirements, to strengthen provider standards, and to produce cost savings as well. And one of the ways that we were producing cost savings was by raising the thresholds for being eligible to receive PCA services. One of the things that we began to realize early as we were discussing raising the thresholds was that a lot of the people that would be losing their access to PCA services are currently living in the community and being able to maintain community placements with this fairly low-level service, and that it wouldn't take much of a tip in the scales to make them unable to continue to live in the community and put them in a more institutional setting at a much higher cost and really destroy all of the cost savings of the program. The changes that are going to become effective in 2011 will make PCA services only available to people with at least two dependencies in activities of daily living, and there will no longer be any access to people with just behavioral needs. Level one behavioral needs used to also get you access to the services. There are estimated some 2,700 individuals who will lose services. Actually, in the bill also, we asked the department to work with stakeholders and other interested parties and do a personal care assistant services report to the legislature that came out last month. Very interesting report. I didn't get a chance to dig through our stuff to see if it's available to us, but it kind of gives you a lot of the demographics about who these 2,700 individuals are. And I'll just say a lot of them are people with mental health issues that, a core service, small in nature, might really be able to help a good number of these maintain a living status in the community and not have to seek these more expensive institutional-type placements. And so that was kind of the genesis of this bill that's here today. We also set aside a little bit of money to fund some other services, to some alternative services for people with mental health and other behavioral challenges who could benefit from some other service that truly more appropriately meets their needs and assist them in maintaining independent living in the community. And so it's through this group of stakeholder response with the department and their staff and their reassessment of all of the individuals, finding out who they are, where they're living, what might be effective. And so that's kind of a little bit, you know, a nickel tour of the history of how we got here today.
So, Madam Chair, then I have an A2 amendment for Senate File 348. Senator. While we're passing it out, I'll explain what the base bill does, and then I'll explain how the amendment changes the bill. So in the base bill, we're taking this pot of money that was set aside for people with one activity of daily living that they were deficient in or a mental health diagnosis, And instead of leaving it in a separate pot, which was done because we thought there'd be a special waiver program for this group, but we haven't gotten that waiver program. We haven't seen it come through the federal government yet. So what this does instead is to put them back in the PCA program, but at a lower level with sort of a cap on the amount of services that they can get. So that it would use the appropriation in a way where it would serve this group of people and it would draw down federal funds as it was originally intended. But instead of doing it through a waiver program, it would be doing it through the regular PCA program. And it would be doing it within the appropriation available by limiting the amount of service to 30 minutes a day on average. So a person could use their 30 minutes a day, you know, by having an hour, you know, once a week and maybe 2 hours the next week, depending on what their service needs were, if it involved cleaning of an apartment or if it involved bathing. They could use their 30 minutes per day however they wanted to. They didn't have to use it every day. What the amendment does that changes the bill is it takes the study out of the bill. Department did let, they did want the study done when they worked with us on the bill, but then they did tell me that the study would cost some money. Sometimes studies and bills don't cost any money. Senator Rosen was a lucky one. I'm not. So I have, in this amendment, I'm taking the study out.
Sorry,
and the effect of that would be to generate $70,000 of greater savings in the fiscal note.
So, Senator Berglund, are you offering the A2 as an author's amendment? Is this your first hearing?
Yes.
Has everyone received the amendment? Senator Berglund offers the A2 amendment as an author's amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, no. The amendment is adopted.
We do have someone here to testify on behalf of the bill. If you would.
I have several people signed up to testify, so if you're done, then we will call them up.
That'd be fine.
First, we have Ann Henry.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. My name is Ann Henry, and I'm with the Minnesota Disability Law Center. And in our office, we represent a lot of people who use the PCA program, children, adults and their families. And also, we participated on the stakeholder group that the department was required by the legislation to convene. And we are in support of this bill and really urge your support of it. The bill is consistent with the recommendations of that group. Although the amount of service is very modest indeed, we do think that it will help some people either stay out of a psychiatric hospital or avoid injury. For instance, as Senator Berglund mentioned, get somebody maybe out every other day for an hour. There are numbers of people who needed help bathing, and so it's a good idea to keep those folks safe without broken bones, and we think this would help do that. And so we really urge your support of it, and if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer. Again, there's probably about over 20% of the current PCA recipients are facing termination of completely of no service at all without this. And so this would just be a little bit of modest service to carry on. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions from the committee? Thank you very much, Ms. Henry. We have next, we have Sue Aberholden with NAMI.
Hello again.
Or is she not here? And then there's Andrew Fole.
Oh, let's see.
NAMI?
Slight adjustment. my name is Matt Murder, testifying on behalf of NAMI.
I'm sorry, could you pull the microphone closer?
Sorry, my name is Matt Murder, testifying on behalf of NAMI. We are testifying today in support of this bill. As has been mentioned in many previous hearings, a lot of the folks affected by the changes to the PCA program live with a mental illness. And this will at least give us a foot back in the door so that these folks have some kind of support in place. And so we're here today to express our strong support for this bill. And I have here with me Andrew Falwell, who is a parent of two children who receive PCA services, and he's just going to talk briefly about how the PCA program has benefited his family and what these changes will mean for him.
Thank you very much. And I'm sorry, could you repeat your name for me?
Yes, my name is Andrew Fell.
Okay.
Are you coming through clearly? Okay. Okay. Yes, I'm a parent of three children. I have two boys who currently receive PCA services. They have qualified for services since 2005. My wife is also diagnosed with bipolar disorder, and the PCA services that my family has received during the last 5 years have really added some normalcy to our family, to the point even where my wife is now able to do a small amount of work from home. And as I say, I mean, they've been very beneficial to our family. And when we heard about the potential for cutting services and then received a letter stating that that our services would be cut, we were quite devastated. Hearing that there is a potential to retain a modicum of services through the bill is something that we are definitely in support of for other, not only our own family, but other families with situations like ours.
Thank you very much. Questions or discussion from the committee? Then Senator Berglund renews her motion to lay this over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Is that the correct?
Yeah, I don't know what Senator Hahn wants to do, Madam Chair. I was expecting just a neutral fiscal note, so I didn't know if it could go separately, but now it's got a small $75,000 savings. So,
given that Chairman Hahn is not here right now, I think maybe laying it over is the best bet at this point, to lay it over for possible inclusion.
All right, thank you.
Madam Chair?
Oh, yes, Senator Higgins.
Before we do, could I ask a question?
Oh, certainly. I asked if there was discussion or questions from the committee.
I came in late, so I apologize.
Senator Higgins.
Senator Berglund, on the bottom of page 2, you're talking about units per day. And Senator Newman and I have been trying to figure out what this unit measures. And we see on the back page that you are limited to 96 units a year. And so we were just asking for a little more information, if we could, please.
Yeah.
Senator Berglund.
You probably did this at the beginning of your presentation.
So it's always
and
good,
I apologize.
Senator Higgins, to look at the fiscal note. And if you look at the fiscal note, you'll see that it's limited to 30 minutes a day. So a unit is 15 minutes. They're limited to 2 units per day. And they don't have to use the service every day. That would be the limit, but they could use it, like if they need someone for an hour one day and nobody the next day, they can use the hours flexibly.
Okay.
There are a lot of people on the list that need assistance with bathing and grooming. This would help them meet their needs.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thanks, Madam Chair.
Further questions?
30 minutes a day.
Senator Berglund renews her motion to lay over for possible inclusion. On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The motion does prevail. Then we will move on to Senate File 277, Senator Nino. This is the only thing. Senator, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam
Whenever
Chair.
Whenever you're ready.
Senate File 277, as you recall, we were in the middle of hearing this bill when we adjourned the committee last week.
Yes.
The very brief reintroduction, for those that might not have been here last week, Madam Chair, the bill is very short. Simply says that the state shall not spend state funds to implement the federal health care reform, as I said in the common vernacular, referred to often as Obamacare, until the United States Supreme Court has determined the constitutionality that is currently in question. And this bill would purport that it's not a good idea for the state to be implementing a bill that has a very good chance of being determined in whole or in part as unconstitutional. Madam Chair, I saw on the agenda that there was someone who wanted to testify, if you want to do that now.
And Senator, we are we do have one person signed up. Greg O'Connor, please join us at the table. Welcome to the committee. If you could just state your name for the record. And
thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, members of the Senate Health and Human Services Committee. My name is Greg O'Connor. And for the record, I have been a small business owner for the last 42 years, and more recently, the Director of Legislative Affairs for the Republican Liberty Caucus. I am here today to speak in favor of Senate File 277. The issue before us is premised around health care, but the debate has focused properly on the more fundamental question: what are the constitutional limits of federal authority? The federal actions being questioned here encompassed in the exercise of power under the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act causes me to ask, where in the enumerated powers of the U.S. Constitution would we find that they were granted those powers? At stake is not only damage to the most advanced healthcare system in the world, but also the question of the freedoms, liberties, and personal responsibilities that rightfully belong to we the people. The actions being suggested in this bill, Senate File 277, are reasonable and in the best interest of the people of Minnesota. The governors and legislatures of 26 other states are already suing the federal government over its health care bill, and lower court rulings suggest this will be heard by the Supreme Court. If passed, Senate File 277 will simply delay the expenditure of monies that will be wasted should the Supreme Court find the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act unconstitutional. I've been in the political trenches since the mid-1960s, and I can tell you assuredly that I have never witnessed a challenge of this magnitude by the states against the federal establishment. Two federal courts have ruled their act is unconstitutional, and two have ruled it constitutional. The concern is clear, and the stakes have never been higher. This is not just some minor government program aimed at some insignificant special interest. This is an attack against our private sector to nationalize one-sixth of our economy. Very careful deliberation is needed. I urge your unanimous support for this bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Questions for the witness? Thank you, Mr. O'Connor. Appreciate you being here. Further discussion from the committee on 277? Senator Berglund.
Madam Chair, we have a memo in our packet from Chuck Johnson asking some questions, and I wondered if the author had seen the memo and if the author would be prepared to answer the questions in the memo.
Senator Nino, have you seen the memo? Are you prepared to address
Madam
these?
Chair, yeah, there were some emails I saw over the weekend and a memo, and the proposal, if you want to call it that, was made that the amended language be included in the bill. The bill as written has language that I like. I don't know how much more clear the language can be when it indicates that we will stop spending state funds. The implementation of that is not something I want to legislate. Simply the intent of the bill is to stop spending state funds to progress us down the road of adopting federal legislation that is currently under question as to the constitutionality. I have no desire in putting additional details or putting specific parameters on how that is done. It's simply a matter of don't spend the money.
Madam Chair.
Thank you. Senator Berglund.
Madam Chair, perhaps Rep. Semenino, you could at least clarify if you intend for this to apply to funds after the passage of the Act, or if you intend for it to apply to funds that might have been spent in the past.
Senator Nino.
Madam Chair, my understanding is that legislation, when passed, is active upon enactment or the specific date or the default date if there's not one that's specified. So my assumption would be that it would be from that point forward. I don't know how you can unspend money.
Senator Berglund.
Senator Nino, so you don't intend to change statutes that might be on the books already regarding provisions that were in the Federal Act that have already been implemented? You only intend to prohibit those expenditures of money that might be going forward? Is that correct?
Madam
Senator
Chair,
Nino.
If I understand the question correctly, I can't unspend money or claw back previous expenditures. I don't know how we do that. But the intent would be to not spend any additional state funds to implement the federal health care reform until constitutionality has been determined.
Madam Chair.
Senator Berglund.
Madam Chair and Senator Nino, would it be your intent to forego federal funding for the Medicaid program in order not to spend money that might be otherwise required by federal law under the Health Care Reform Act?
Senator Nino.
Oh, Madam Chair, I would hope that we would get those funds, and if indeed the legislation is deemed constitutional, that we would have it to spend.
Senator
Madam
Berglund.
Chair and Senator Nino, that wasn't my question. My question was, while we're waiting to find out, would you be intending that we would take penalties against our Medicaid program for not implementing?
Senator Nino.
Madam Chair, well, along with some of the assumptions in the governor's budget, I guess the department could pursue some waivers, and I would hope that we would get those funds and expend them at the time that the law is deemed constitutional.
Waivers aren't money.
Senator Higgins.
Madam Chair, along those lines, according to this memo from Chuck Johnson, the amount of money that the state will receive in federal Medicare matching funds is about equal to our deficit, $4.7 billion, which should be attached as part of the fiscal note to this bill if you intend for us to not spend the money that would get us the matching money from the federal government. You can't just ask for a waiver not to do that. That isn't money. And so I don't know if Senator Nino wants to comment on that. One other question that the memo had for the author is, what is your intent if the United States Supreme Court doesn't grant cert on the bill?
Senator Nino.
I didn't hear that. If they don't review.
If they don't take it up.
Senator Nino.
Madam Chair, I am not a legal scholar, but my understanding at that point, the law would be deemed either constitutional or unconstitutional per the final decision, the last courts of appeal. Whatever that decision would be, I believe, would be the default decision of the U.S. Supreme Court.
Senator Newman.
I might be able to help a little bit. What we really have is a kind of an unusual situation where a couple of the districts in federal court have granted this or ruled that this law is constitutional, and a couple others have ruled it unconstitutional. So those cases take precedent in those respective federal districts, which really puts us as a nation at odds in that we've got different districts ruling differently on those laws. So I rather suspect that I would be amazed if the United States Supreme Court doesn't take this up, if for no other reason than we have to have uniformity within this country as to whether this law is constitutional. And in the end, the only body with that authority is the United States Supreme Court.
Further discussion or questions on 277? Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Nino, maybe you can answer another or maybe expand on the note here. It says the state will receive $4.7 billion in federal Medicaid matching funds in fiscal 2013. Could you tell me what, with those matching funds, what our obligation would be in the state of Minnesota?
Senator Nino.
Well, Madam Chair, Senator, I presume matching funds would be one-to-one.
So this wouldn't, Madam Chair.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Nino. So the presumption would be that this wouldn't be a zero cost to the state of Minnesota and, in fact, would hurt our budget deficit.
Senator Nino.
Madam Chair, there's an old joke about a business owner who was hiring a new corporate accountant. And I've told this before in committee, but it's many years ago. The corporate accountant had two individuals, said, here's my books from last year. Tell me, how much did I make or how much did I lose? He interviewed three. The first accountant came in and said, here you go. You made a wonderful profit. Great for the shareholders. He said, thank you very much. Second accountant came in, said, sir, you had a significant loss last year. You have a great tax write-off. Third accountant came in and said, which do you want? The third accountant got hired. You can do a lot of things with numbers, Senator Hoffman.
Senator Berglund.
Well, Madam Chair, Senator Nino, I guess I just don't feel that your response and your joke is an adequate answer. For example, we are required for 2013 and 14 to increase the Medicaid payment to primary care physicians. The federal government is providing us the money to do so, so it doesn't cost the state budget any money. But under your bill, if we haven't heard back from the federal government about constitutionality, would it be your intent then that something that we're mandated to do, increasing Medicaid payments to primary care physicians, we would not be doing it? And that could put our Medicaid money in jeopardy because it is a requirement.
Senator Nino.
Madam Chair, I feel like I've answered the different version of the same question a couple of times here. The intent is to stop expending state funds to implement the federal health care reform, Obamacare, Affordable Care Act, whatever term you want to use for it. And to the extent that there might be some challenges with that, I would expect that we would pursue every option to ensure that we don't jeopardize unnecessarily any other revenue streams. But the intent of the legislation would be that we would stop implementing a law that has been deemed unconstitutional on multiple occasions, and the constitutionality is seriously in question.
Well, Madam Chair, Senator Berglund. Senator Nino, we do spend money to send out these Medicaid payments. So are you suggesting we stop spending that money?
Senator Nino.
Madam Chair, to the extent that they're not explicitly part of implementing the federal health care reform, no.
Senator Berglund.
Madam Chair and Senator Nino, they were part of the overall bill. Now, everything that's in the federal act hasn't been ruled unconstitutional. In fact, I think the Florida lawsuit said all of the Medicaid portions of the law and their ruling would stand. But your bill says everything in the act shall not be implemented using state funds.
Senator Nino.
Madam Chair, Senator Berglund, you've read the bill.
So that's his intent.
Well, Madam Chair,
Senator Berglund,
Nino, I'm assuming then that you're going farther than any of the court rulings so far have gone in regard to this law.
Senator Nino.
Madam Chair, was that a question or a statement?
A question. Is it your intent to go farther than any of the courts have so far?
Madam Chair.
Senator Nino.
I cannot preclude federal courts or supersede federal courts.
Well,
Senator Berglund.
Madam Chair and Senator Nino, yes, you can. I think this bill does.
Senator Nino?
Madam Chair, I'm not aware of any federal court order that says the state of Minnesota shall expend these funds.
Senator Berglund.
Madam Chair, Senator Nino, your bill says no money may be expended to implement any parts of what was in the federal reform law because it might be ruled unconstitutional. The courts, even the ones that have ruled some parts of it unconstitutional, have not ruled the Medicaid part of it unconstitutional. But your language would preclude implementing any of it, including the parts that the courts have not ruled as unconstitutional. So your bill does go farther than the courts have gone.
Senator Nino.
Madam Chair, this would be an interesting discussion in a court of law. As to the nuances of federal law and legislation, et cetera. The bill as written indicates that the state funds may not be expended in planning and implementation. If we are currently sending out Medicaid payments and we send out Medicaid payments in the future, we have not expended funds to specifically comply with the federal health care reform. We can still send out Medicaid funds. That's something that we're doing now. It's not something that we would need to and simply because it's a part of the current federal legislation that's under question.
Well, Senator Berglund.
Senator Nino, I think if that's the intent of your bill, you would be wise to make your bill a lot clearer than it is.
No.
Senator Lori, actually I have Senator Sharon first, so Senator Sharon.
Just a clarifying question, because I understand that that you're saying that the intent is to not expend resources until a determination is made, I think it says in the United States Supreme Court, not at the lower court level, by the way, but it does say by the United States Supreme Court. So if there's not a determination there, if they don't take it up, I think that is at issue with the language. But then I'm assuming that your intent is that you want to place the state of Minnesota in a condition that waits for a determination on something that you believe, well, it is. People are questioning it, and people are serious about their questioning, but there are people equally serious that believe that that effort to delay this action will fail. And in the process of delaying our continued work on this, and the state puts us in a position of being behind and not able to develop one component for sure, which is the exchange in a timely way, result then by this legislation placing the state of Minnesota in a situation where we will have to accept a federal exchange, something that I don't think anybody on this committee would want to have happen, no matter how you wish the outcome would be in terms of the courts on constitutionality. So delaying this places us in jeopardy of being able to prepare for the probable outcome that it will be found constitutional. And now we're behind and unable to really meet the requirements of the law that we have an exchange in place at the state level or accept a federal exchange.
Senator Nino.
Madam Chair, we had a hearing here last week about that. My understanding is that the administration believes it can implement about 90% of that on its own. And the committee may ask themselves whether they believe that's true or not.
Senator Sharon.
But isn't that what this bill is about, is to challenge that, to stop that, and to place the state of Minnesota in a situation in which it will cannot and is unable to do anything except a federal exchange, should the court determine, as I anticipate it will, that this is constitutional?
Senator Nino.
I'm sorry, Madam Chair. I was reading a note at the same time you started the first part of that question. Could you restate that?
Senator Sharon.
Not exactly. You can replay the tape, but I guess I could summarize it by saying I assume from your answer that the answer is yes, that you intend to place the state in jeopardy should the courts find it constitutional, that we will have to accept a federal exchange. Your answer, I interpret to be yes, that is your intention.
Senator Nino.
Madam Chair, I expect the state of Minnesota to do everything it can to prevent the federal government from imposing on it in any way that would violate state rights. And to the extent that the federal government would impose on us a an exchange, I believe that that would also fall in that category.
Senator Lurie.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Nienau, following up on Senator Shern's point a little bit, I think that your answer that the administration, you know, allegedly made this statement about being able to do 90% of it on their own, if we were to pass this law, that would actually strip them of that, I think, is one of the points here of whatever ability they had. I mean, the state, no branch of the state would be able to pursue any of this to prevent the federal exchange from coming in and just doing that. And then the other point to whether the U.S. Supreme Court grants cert or not to even review the case, I understand Senator Newman thinks they will. I think he's probably right, but the bill says until the constitutionality of the act has been affirmed by the United States Supreme Court. So, I mean, if we're wrong and they don't grant cert, it's just, you know, we're just in limbo if this law were to go into the books. And I think that's, you know, I mean, I think we try to be pretty careful in crafting our laws to account for even even small possibilities that something that we think might happen doesn't. And so I think that this might need a little work. And then a third point, when we had this bill before us 5 days ago, there were significant questions about the fiscal note that was prepared and that had significant questions in it. And at the end of the committee, I had asked you to try to get together with the department and make sure that they had a clear understanding of exactly how this would be rolled out, because they had several significant questions. And I just want to see, if did they reach out to you and ask for a meeting, and did you have such a meeting?
Senator Nienau.
I received a phone call over the weekend that apparently the department had called and left a message. And that message was received by my assistant after hours on Friday. She either called or emailed, I don't remember which, and told me about that. And in my response to her to respond to the department, which I assume she did, either via voicemail or email, I'm not sure which, was that I'm not interested in changing the language of the legislation significantly to specify particular implementation, that the legislation seems pretty clear that what we are to do is stop spending state funds. How that happens is not of particular interest to me, the logistics of how that happens, as much as that it happens.
Oh, that's nice.
And what the... Well, yeah, that was essentially the message I asked her to convey.
Follow-up, Senator Lurie.
Madam Chair, this memo was dated March 10th. I mean, presume it's addressed to you and to David Hand. If my math is correct, that would have been Thursday, not over the weekend, and it reiterated a lot of the questions that were in the committee. And you know, I got another memo from that was sent to all of the committee members on March 12th, which would have been, Saturday or something, that also says, yeah, I mean, it's $9.7 billion of federal matching funds for the biennium that are at stake. And, I mean, that if we were to do this, it would put us in violation of federal law. I mean, putting this entire program at risk. And there were significant questions regarding your intent. I mean, I think that, you know, asking you to sit down and discuss with them, we weren't asking you to accept any amendments or anything, just to sit down and try to hammer it out and maybe even listen to their technical advice about how to clarify it if you so chose, would have been a wise course. But what I'm hearing is that our request from 5 days ago was not honored, and you have not followed up with the department. Maybe someone from the department is here and could help us understand a little bit about what's transpired since our meeting last Wednesday.
Senator Nienau.
Madam Chair, Senator Lurie, I have emails from March 10th that I haven't looked at yet. Unlike many members, I actually do my own email. Sometimes that means I get a little backed up. After the committee here last week, I did have a conversation with someone from the department on the way out. The very brief summary of that conversation came down to, we're going to take a look and see what the House fiscal note looks like. And my understanding is that was going to be coming forward, and we were going to have a discussion about what and talk about that. And I was waiting further action to talk about some particular details, and maybe there was more specificity there. It was on my way out of here onto some other meeting of some sort. I don't remember where.
Senator Lurie.
So, Madam Chair, Senator Nenow, it's my understanding then that there are further discussions about the fiscal implications of this bill that have not heretofore occurred. Maybe we ought to be setting this aside until those discussions do occur, because these are very, very, very serious fiscal considerations for this bill. And I personally just would really like to see those happen before we officially act on anything of this magnitude. It is a very, very important piece of legislation you have before us, with, the potential of $9.7 billion federal dollars on the line. I think that I understand that you answer your own emails, but I answer most of my own emails as well. And when I have a bill up in committee, those ones take precedence, and I make darn sure that I get to those and review my material before coming and sitting at the table.
Senator Nenow.
Madam Chair, my understanding in talking to Senator Hand prior to the committee here is that we're not going to be moving this bill anywhere, that he's going to lay it over for possible inclusion.
My understanding is it does have to go to Judiciary, Senator Nenow.
Madam Chair, I had a conversation with the Judiciary Chairman today. He was unsure of that. So before sending it out, I wanted to hear back with him. He was not certain whether he wanted the bill or not. I told him I was perfectly fine if he wanted to, but it was up to him, depending on his schedule. Madam Chair, my understanding is that the word constitutionality caught their attention. When I spoke with him on the floor today, I explained to him that it was the United States Constitution, not the Minnesota Constitution, and at that point, then he was in question.
Chair. And, Senator Nenow, I think what would then happen is we will just lay it over for possible inclusion, and if need be, then we could take it back up and move it. But So, yes, that is your plan to do that. Senator Berglund.
Madam Chair and Senator Nenow, let's talk about something besides the Medicaid program. In the Affordable Care Act, the Children's Health Insurance Program, you're familiar with that program, was reauthorized. So the funding for it to the state was extended from 2015 to 2019. And it states that we have to maintain eligibility for children that are currently in the CHIP program through 2019. So the fact that this reauthorization was included in the Accountable Care Act and the language of your bill mean that we would not be allowed to expend any state money in order to receive our federal CHIP money?
Senator Nenow.
Madam Chair, if that is a specific requirement of implementing the brand new law, possibly, but I don't think that's a specific requirement to implementing the brand new law that was previously in place.
Senator Berglund.
Madam Chair and Senator Nenow, then I would suggest that you clarify that, because it's not clear in the language for other people to understand what you mean to be in and what you mean to be out. I'll give you another example. One of the things that's required in the ACA is that we now collect rebates on drugs purchased through managed care plans. We've never been able to do that until this law passed. Would it be your intention we don't expend any state money in order to collect those rebate monies, which I'm sure are included in the forecast?
Senator Nenow.
Well, Madam President, it sounds to me like that would be a net plus, not an expenditure.
Senator Berglund.
Madam Chair and Senator Nenow, you can understand when we're collecting rebates, that's money going into the Treasury, not money going out.
Madam Chair, that was
Senator
my point.
Senator
Nenow. Madam Chair, I'll just say this. If this bill is just going to get laid over for inclusion in the omnibus bill, I do not understand how, without greater clarification, a fiscal note can be done except to say that it's going to cost $4.7 billion.
And Senator Lurie, Senator Nenow. No, Senator Lurie, I'm sorry if I Did you have more follow-up or?
No, we're good. Madam Chair, I actually do feel a bit better that it's going to be laid over. I was not clear as to what the intent was of the bill. That does give me some comfort that we can continue to work on it. It is $9.7 billion federal for the biennium that is at stake here. That is important to recall. And I guess we'll just keep working on it. But thanks for coming back to me.
Senator Higgins.
Madam Chair, I'd like a little more clarification on a comment that Senator Nenow said, something about waiting for the House fiscal note to get better so that we knew more about what was going on. I'm uncertain about how that works, since I think it's the same people that write our fiscal notes.
Senator Nenow.
Madam Chair, it was a conversation passing with the department about looking at the fiscal note again, and a comment about the House fiscal note. And I didn't take notes because it was a comment in passing right over here, and I was on my way to another meeting. That's the best of my recollection.
But, Madam Chair and Senator Nenow, do you have any did you get the feeling that the department thought that maybe the House author was going to give them more clarity on, you know, for example, all the questions that they sent in this memo so that maybe they could do a better fiscal note? Or how? I'm befuddled. Because this whole bill befuddles me. But
Senator Nenow.
Madam Chair, I've that's the best answer I've got. If I had more, I'd tell you.
Further discussion on Senate File 277. Senator Nenow then renews his motion to lay 277 over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, nay.
No.
Nay. The motion does prevail. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
There's no further business in front of the committee, so I think this is the very first health committee I've ever been in that adjourned early. But and the CA tells me that we will be having evening sessions on Tuesday and Wednesday in addition to our day meetings, so please plan for that. If there's
we're
no
meeting tonight?
I'm sorry. Senator Higgins?
I thought on my calendar it was tonight.
It's Tuesday, and we got through the agenda today, I'm being told, so that we are not meeting tonight, but we are planning on meeting Tuesday and Wednesday night, or 6 or 7, whatever it is on the agenda, in addition to our day meetings, because I think there's more bills on the agenda for those days.
Okay, thanks.
Not tonight. So everybody is free to go home tonight.
No, I have LCC.
So thank you very much, and the committee is adjourned.